The Judeo-Christian tradition has a lot to say about our responsibility to respect and care for creation, starting with the book of Genesis. Yet it's only within the last few years that Catholic Church leaders have begun speaking out about ecology and urging people to become much more environmentally aware, a pattern found in other faith traditions as well. Award-winning journalist and producer Mary Colwell is the Catholic Programme Advisor for ARC, as well as serving as a consultant to the Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales.
All the world's major faiths have slowly come to this dawning, some quicker than others, and some sections of the world's faiths quicker than other sections. So there was a general awakening, which is very interesting, among all the world's faiths. So the Catholic Church wasn't alone. And I think it's been driven by grassroots. It's been driven by your ordinary people who go to church on a Sunday, but who care about the world's wildlife, the world's environment, fresh water, forests, animals, plants, how we live. And they wanted the church to take some kind of... They wanted to be able to put that into the church, and in a way forced it into the church. And I think the church has responded. There have also been, of course, some really strong leadership from John Paul II and Pope Benedict. So there has been a pincer movement driven from the top and the bottom, and I think it is moving us forwards.
What do you see as the most important actions at grassroots level that, as you say, can help to push the leaders in that direction, if you like?
I think talk about it and live it. Talk about it, say to them, we want you to make a difference. We want you to start talking about this. Look, we want to be a Live Simply parish, the CAFOD Live Simply campaign. And we want to show our local community that our faith community here, our church buildings, what we do in terms of our faith is green and sustainable. And we want it to be led from the front as well as from the grassroots. So I think what ordinary pew-going Catholics can do is demand, if you like, that the hierarchy take this seriously in the nicest possible way. And also, but to lead by example and say, this is really important to us. We know this is part of our faith. And together, I think the whole church will start moving forwards. I think it's happening, and it's happening sporadically. We just need to join the dots a lot more.
You're coming at it from your Catholic perspective. This is also going on, for example, in the UK, across all the other churches, denominations, and indeed all the other faiths, isn't it? Do you see this as an important ecumenical interfaith area?
I think it's hugely important. There are many, many, many things that divide the world's religions, tenets of theology and so on, but we all eat, we all drink, we all need to have fresh water and clean air. We all need the natural world to be thriving and nourishing for our own mental health, our spiritual health, and our physical health. It's a great binder. Concern for the earth cuts straight across boundaries, whether that's political or religious, and we can all find this as a way to move together without compromising our own beliefs. Without compromising that, but we can move together on these hugely important issues, which not just affect our own lives, but will affect the lives of our children and their children.
There are many who would see this as a very idealistic vision, something that we in the West can afford to do. It's not so for many countries where people are struggling to feed their families.
I think that's a good point, but I think it's something nobody can afford to let go of. It is a luxury, if you like. Do I buy this organic mango or do I eat a locally grown apple? You know, on that level, it's a privilege to be able to choose. But if we don't do the right thing, if not every person lives in harmony with their environment, wherever they live and whatever standard they live, things will only get worse. So the poor will get poorer. And we will start to poison the world around us and at a distance. And I think that's the big thing that climate change has told us, that if we don't live in the right way, not only do we damage ourselves and our local environment, but we're also causing sea level rise and desertification in parts of the world which could be thousands of miles away. It affects us all, and we all have a responsibility. It's not a rich or a poor issue, it's an individual issue.
Tell us a bit more about the idea behind the Green Pilgrimage Network. What is this aiming to do?
pilgrimage is one of those things, like the environment, if you like, which is common to many, many, many faiths. It seems to be an inbuilt, innate desire in us to go and physically move ourselves to a holy place and be there in that environment. And so we share pilgrimage across faiths, the desire for pilgrimage. And so the Green Pilgrimage Network, again, works within each faith tradition, but across a lot of faiths to say, if you are a pilgrim, a Christian pilgrim, a Muslim pilgrim, a Hindu pilgrim, think about what you're doing. Think not just about the spiritual aspect of it, but the sort of impact on the world as you do it, because that's your faith as well. So it's not just the significance of that shrine. It's the whole witness of how you get there, what you do when you're there, and what you bring back. It's all part of the package. You can't separate that out.
You're working together with spiritual, religious leaders, also with civic leaders in these cities that have become the first members to sign up to the network. In many cases, this may well also encourage greater cooperation, perhaps, between religion and society in these countries. Have you found that?
I think it's been quite astonishing how, you know, people who thought that they weren't really connected, so people who run local councils hadn't really thought of themselves as sort of sitting side by side with the people who run the faith shrines, but suddenly realising, well, of course we sit by side with them because people are visiting the city, coming to this place, and we need to work together to do that. It's, you know, in that modern phrase, it's a no-brainer, really. And it's surprising it's taken this long for people to realise it. Because, of course, what challenges Etchmiadzin in Armenia or Kano in Nigeria, what challenges those places to make their pilgrimages green is very different to what challenges St Albans in England or Trondheim in Norway. We're talking incredibly different places, very different standards of living, very different outlooks on the world. But we all share pilgrimage in common, and so Kano can talk to St Albans and say, what we've found is this, and you could try this, and we can work together. That's what's been so fascinating.
You're talking about these pilgrimage sites, these religious traditions, which have centuries, millennia in some cases, of wisdom and history and experience to bring to this debate. Why is it that the rich tradition of faith has been unable so far, perhaps, to bring this vision to bear?
It's a hard question to answer, isn't it, that one? I think as the world has got more consumerist, then to preach self-restraint and simple living and wise use of resources and being humble before God is not what people want to hear. They want to hear about all the new gizmos they can have and how much they can do. And that's very human. I mean, of course we all want to have fun and have a nice, easy lifestyle. And religion challenges that as a very basic level and said, you know, well, maybe that's okay sometimes. Maybe it is okay to have periods of great feasting where you really can spoil yourself, but it must be counterbalanced by periods of restraint and periods of sort of reflection and simplicity. And I think that's what's missing from the consumerist society. We're all about having and not about giving up. And I think religion finds that a very difficult message to give, but it's one we really need to hear. And I think as the world goes into more into recession, as it seems to be, it's a message actually that's being heard more.
One of the messages that is coming through here is that if we manage to somehow work more closely together to work on the environment, perhaps there will be some solutions to the current financial crisis.
I think what the current economic crisis is doing is making people reassess how they're spending their money and how they're living, maybe all being forced to think, well, do I really need to spend that? Do I really need that? And that's quite a new question for the richer countries of the world. It's not whether do I need it, it's do I want it. And I think it's forcing many people to reassess what's important to them. So you're only going to spend your money on what is important. And if you're a person of faith, then that has to be informed by your faith.